You should be really glad you're here. Not only because of the beautiful music, not only because of the impending cogent sermon, but because it's good for you. I was in New York this past week and I was arguing about whether religion was good for the world. But previously, about a week and a half before, I had gotten all the evidence I needed, at least for us, because I was at a healthcare conference and I had the opportunity to listen to Dr. Harold Koenig of Duke University. Now, Dr. Koenig, in addition to being an absolutely lovely person who was raised and remains, although slightly differently from the way he was raised, a religious Christian, began being trained as a nurse, eventually became a doctor, and then became professor of medicine at Duke University. And he made his specialty the study between religion and health. And he is the world's leading expert on the subject, and he trains other people how to conduct surveys about the way in which religion affects your health. And he told us that the new Oxford Handbook of Religion and Health is coming out in 2012. And he told us what it said. So I gathered up all this information, and now I'm going to use it at every opportunity. The first Oxford Handbook had about 1,000 studies of religion and health, and that's not very many because people weren't studying it. But now it has become an exploding field, and over 2,000 more studies have been added. So the new handbook has over 3,000 studies, and all of them are in the best medical journals, the New England Journal of Medicine, the British Journal Lancet, the Journal of the American Medical Association, and so on, all peer-reviewed journals, which, by the way, are not so sympathetic to religion. It's not like the New England Journal of Medicine is looking for articles to prove religion is good for you. But this is what you learn. There are two different categories. One is what it does for you, and second is the kind of person it makes you. If you are religious, and this is how they measured religion, you attend services, you pray, even outside of services, you read the Bible. And that was what they picked because those things you could measure. Right? You can't measure how religious someone feels. You can measure how often they come to synagogue. We do, in fact, measure how often you come to synagogue. We have cameras in the garage, I just want you to know. This is what happens if you go to synagogue, to church, to mosque, read scripture, pray. You have, first of all, lower incidence of heart disease, lower incidence of cancer, lower incidence of Alzheimer's, and you recover from all three quicker when you get them. Your recovery from AIDS, should you get AIDS, is better and quicker. Your incidence of virtually every other kind of disease and misfortune is lower. You are more likely, this is the kind of person it makes you, to volunteer, to give money to charity, including charities that are not religious, to donate blood, to vote in elections, to participate in civic organizations. You're going to have lower cholesterol. How about that one? You are more likely, interestingly enough, to get screened for diseases, and more likely to follow your doctor's directions when you do get screened. You are less likely to drink, to do drugs. You're going to have a more stable home. You're going to be more likely to help a homeless person, more likely to find someone, get a job, less likely to be depressed, less likely to have suicidal thoughts, less likely to commit suicide, more likely to use a seatbelt. That's why we have the cameras. We just want to know. In fact, on a study of 25,000 men in Israel, controlling for all the other variables from blood pressure to diet, they controlled for all the variables, there was 20% lower coronary heart disease among those who were religious, the Dati'im. In a study at the University of Miami, people who were diagnosed with AIDS and then turned to religion were compared against those who were diagnosed with AIDS and turned away. All the indices of the disease, their viral load, their CD4 counts, T-cell counts, all those things were better, significantly better, among those who had turned to religion. In fact, said Dr. Koenig, averaging out all the results, if you are a white American male, just for example, it adds 7 years to your life on average. If you are an African American male, 14 years to your life to be religious. Now, he said, it's true, you spend those 7 years in synagogue. But I'm told it's better than the alternative. I bring this up not only because I just heard and had the opportunity to talk about it, but also because we're reading Chaye Sara. And while I don't want to make the argument that all these exaggerated lifespans in the Bible are literally true, that Methuselah went to a lot of services and therefore lived 969 years, nor do I want to make the argument that because you come to services, God decides you're going to live longer. It is certainly true that being part of a religious community increases your well-being in this world and increases your goodness in this world. That's why we get particularly upset when someone religious does something bad. You don't look in the paper and say, oh my God, how could a human being steal money? But when a rabbi steals money, it's supposed to be a rabbi. How could he steal that money? In other words, when someone who's supposed to be religious, which by the way includes all of you, does something wrong, we get particularly upset. He comes to synagogue. How could he do such a thing? He's part of the community. Because we have an expectation that religion is a system that pushes people to do good. And what these statistics show is that on average, it's exactly right. You want to know something amazing? A statistic that I have not cited yet, but actually didn't come from Dr. Koenig, but comes from Robert Putnam, the sociologist at Harvard. When you adjust for religion and you take people from religious families, the achievement gap between blacks and Latinos and Caucasians in America disappears. Those African Americans and Latinos who come from religious families, on average, their achievement is identical to their white compatriots. It makes that much of a difference. And you understand why, the structure it gives, the sense of constant learning, the sense of constant encouragement to be good. And apparently, not only does it make people better, but it makes them healthier. It makes them happier. It's good for us. So when I said that you should be glad that you were here this morning, I meant it quite literally. I know that you could be in the gym. But this is better. I know that some of your kids and grandkids are playing soccer. But this is better. The truth is that to be part of a community not only does good for you, it does good for everyone you touch. Because you're going to be a better person as a result of it. Now, God knows, religion doesn't make us perfect. Sometimes, it doesn't even make us good. Sometimes, you can be religious and rotten. Nachmanides, Ramban, said that very beautifully. He coined the phrase, Naval Birshut HaTorah, which means Naval is like a rotten person. He said, you can be a rotten person with the permission of the Torah. In other words, you can follow all the laws and still not be nice. Let's put it that way. But life, after all, is a game of percentages. There is no system that makes everybody nice or everybody good, and nobody is good all the time. But if you want to be better, and you want to be happier, and you want to make those around you happier, and you want your life to be longer, and to be richer, and to be more colorful, and to be more compassionate, then all I can tell you is you've come to the right place. Shabbat Shalom.